That anchor bitch be real quiet.
Girl. Okay, wait. All right, wait. We gonna do a roll call in a second. We waiting for one more person to... Okay.
We live.
Okay, so wait. I'm gonna do a roll call. I'm just... Everybody don't say nothing. We got Joshua here. Oh, my God!
I'm not doing this shit.
Is he on Wi-Fi? Did this nigga turn off his Wi-Fi?
Who was waiting?
Bring K-Y I was about to say it as my introduction. I was supposed to be like, I'm off Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And he just can't hear.
Okay. Okay. Joshua.
Joshua.
Yes.
It's so wild because I was.
He said yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's here.
Yeah, you say you're doing roll call. You said nobody see anything.
Oh, wow.
See, that was our call. Oh,
he didn't say anything because we have two Joshua's here. Okay, so JD, you here.
Yeah.
Okay, Joshua, you
They're
here.
Both
JDs.
I'm
wow.
both JD, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I'm doing that. I'm doing that, that position right now. I'm so serious. That just blew my mind because I was looking at it like, he's a JD too. A Josh.
Oh,
indeed.
Right. Okay, well, all right, so I know Akayla here, Bree's here, I'm here. Okay, so we're going to just go ahead and just jump into this episode. Please,
are y'all off Wi-Fi?
Right. Are y'all on Wi-Fi?
Okay, so how are we going to know what JD we're talking about?
Okay,
first?
Because you know what? Let me get into the show. Okay, before we start, this episode is brought to you in parts by Lola and Doe. Go and buy some soap at lolando.com. All natural. Use promo code Auntie, AUNTIE. You get 10% off your purchase. So go buy some soap. Okay. So this episode, we're doing all of September financial literacy episodes. And this particular episode is going to be discussing investing diversification with the Corporate Coke and Smack podcast. And their podcast, I listen to their podcast. It's pretty dope. And we have, I don't know, is Joshua here? Is your partner with you or is just you?
Yes, Toby. Yes, Josh and Toby.
Okay, so Toby, where's Toby?
Hey, I'm right here.
Okay, so we got the whole entire podcast crew on the line with us. Okay, their podcast is pretty dope. I listened to it last week. It was something that was said that I was like, I gagged at, but we're gonna get into that later. So I'm going to have him discuss what investing diversification is. You guys are going to listen, you're going to retain the information, and we're going to have some fun. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Show.
So I'm going to let the podcast go ahead and I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves. So guys, go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah.
We'll intro individually.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So thank you once again for the Auntie's Black Podcast for inviting us on. We're very appreciative. My name is Josh. I am one half of the Corporate Coke and Smack podcast. I currently work in the financial industry. I'm a certified financial education instructor. I'm an avid runner. And I'm also a advocate for financial literacy in our communities because Toby and I, and I'll let him, you know, talk about it, but we're based out of the Wilmington, Delaware area, and that's a pretty rough area that may not be well known in the country because it's a smaller city, but I see things on a daily basis that are very concerned, you know, with it being a predominantly African-American city, so it's always a thing I do whenever I can push, you know, financial literacy in front of not only adults, but, you know, teenagers and even starting with middle school kids. And I'm also a part of the 4-Hour Boys mentoring program as well.
All right. Hey, Auntie. You know, I had to give you the Killmonger greeting real quick. So
Speak up.
Get closer to your phone, maybe. You sound like kind of muffled almost.
Oh, my bad. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
All right. So I am Toby. I am the co-host of Corporate Coke and Smack. Thank you guys for having us. We really appreciate that. So, like my guy just said, I'm the co-host of Corporate Coke and Smack. I'm also a blogger. I blog at longlivetoby.com. It's a personal blog where I just promote, like, self-development, and we just want all our kings to prosper out here. And then I'm also the treasurer of Express Ebo. That's a nonprofit organization. I'm also a mentor with the 4-Hour Boys mentoring group. And most of all, I'm just a student of the game.
always learning?
Of course, of course.
Amen. I like that. So when y'all say mentors, like, or you say like development, do you mean like in a personal aspect of how you view yourself? Do you mean in a health-wise conscious aspect, or do you mean building a business, or all of it wrapped in one?
All of that, for real. You know, I mean, we come from different backgrounds, but we know, like, people coming up, like the youth and guys at our age, like they lack in all of those areas, and wherever we can provide to them. So right now what we're doing as far as mentoring, we have a group of young men that are going into high school, like ninth graders. And I mean, pretty much it seems as though they don't have like a male figure in their lives at home. So, you know, we come through and we try to educate them. Now, also in our personal lives, we know a lot of people where, you know, maybe they didn't have the background that we had or the education that we had, but education is something that's global, man. I could come on here and talk to you guys, and you guys can understand what I'm talking about. So all of our friends, whether it's starting a business or, you know, picking the right investment, or even if it's just like taxes, like we give all types of.
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
What's going on?
We still here.
Did you just stop talking?
Oh, no, because you asked me what type of, like, mentoring or development.
More he stopped at taxes. He stopped at taxes.
Okay.
Well,
it
sounded
like you were about to say more. My bad.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, you know.
Okay, so we was waiting
we
for
were.
The rest of the
anticipation.
Okay, so,
like a month. All right. He do taxes, budgeting, credit.
Right. Credit. Okay, so if you guys don't know, I want you to go ahead and break down what investing diversification is.
Yeah, I'm gonna let Josh go ahead and take the mic. Yep. So, you know, just starting off, just talking investing, you know, in general, whenever you're investing, there's always going to be risk involved. Okay. No matter what investment or what stock or what mutual fund, what ETF, or it's called exchange traded fund that you invest in, there's always going to be risk. So, you know, with millennials and people, you know, in their 20s, 30s, the popular stocks right now are, they call it the FANG group. So we're talking Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Alphabet, yep, and Google, yep. So when you talk about investing and diversification helps because it helps to reduce some of the risks that are involved with investing. Now, you can approach diversification from many standpoints. You can approach it from, you know, asset classes, or we're talking about the global market, you know, different countries. So you could be investing in, you know, some American stocks or, you know, European stocks or Asian stocks. And what happens is, you know, depending on how you invest, you know, whether a large cap stock, that could be any business with a market capitalization over $10 billion. So just speaking in diversification in general, it helps to reduce risk because to kind of put in layman's terms, let's just say you have, you know, five eggs. If you put them all in one basket,
yeah,
in one stock. Now, what happens is, you know, we all think about, you know, the Apples and the Amazons and, you know, the good days.
That ain't common. You got
right.
To copy your stock.
Exactly.
You
That's not right. Every stock doesn't work like that. You just hear about the larger companies in the news, and you know that's where everyone gets happy feet and want to, you know, throw money into stocks that they may not actually know about the company, or, you know, looking at different financial statements. So this is just to kind of sum it up. Diversification, like I said, helps to reduce that risk by spreading eggs out into different baskets.
I
just learned about this.
That's crazy. I was literally just reading about this exactly right here, which was diversifying your portfolio and investing in different companies in which some are, that are established and you do see growth within the company. But most stuff that hits the news, you're late. If you're looking for your company on a stock, you're late. I promise you, all the people who invested in Bitcoin, they invested in that shit like in early 2000s, like before they took a gamble. Pretty much when you have the situations in which you get that profit like that, those are people who understand the stock market and most unlikely have money to play with. And they're pretty much taking a chance on you because why? They have a diverse portfolio. They can afford to trick up money on you. And when it comes back tenfold, it's like, oh, that's what's up. That happened. But you got to think, everything is a test subject. Everything is, I don't know if it's going to work out. Apple, Google, Yahoo, YouTube, people are looking at them, the internet in itself, like you're crazy when they first came out with this idea. So stocks are, it doesn't have to be this huge gamble. And that's why I think a lot of people who either they hop in and they lose money or they get cold feet. It is a lot of research and it is a lot of things you need to do as far as gaining your knowledge and knowing different financial portfolios and how the method goes, whether it's a bull market or a bear market. So much shit within stocks. So that's dope that y'all expand on diversity.
I was going to add on top of that, you know, like my guy, like the reason we do well on our podcast is he comes with a lot of high level information and I'm like the low level guy. So with me, one important thing I wanted to add was just the same way that you cook with water, when you invest, you got to have time. You feel me? Like if you're just trying to invest and then you think you're not going to have to wait for it, because a lot of people, they want to invest for one day and then the next day they make that come up. I'm like, nah, that's not how it works. You know, you got to give it time and let that investment like bubble up a little bit for you.
And you want to buy when the market is low. When you see that shit skyrocketing, everybody's freaking out and jumping out of windows. Here's your chance, baby. Buy it up. That's you. And then when you see it like peak, either you decide to cash out or you ride that wave. Because it's going to go up and down. It doesn't necessarily mean you just have to get out of the game and say, fuck it, this ain't for me. Stock market is like almost playing fucking blackjack. Except for blackjack, you do have more of a probability of winning. You really have to study the market and you really have to know what you're doing to go in and gain the knowledge. But even then, it's still a roller coaster of shit because you have so many things that can happen. You can have the company split all their profits. You can have them double their profits. There's just so much stuff that can happen within a time frame.
And I like this conversation because normally when you talk to people about investing, they just get turned off. But when you start to normalize it and you just talk about everyday things, you know, like you saying it's kind of like blackjack. A lot of people can relate to blackjack. Just, you know, having them open up their minds to like, okay, maybe I need to look into, you know, some stocks. Maybe I need to look into this. Maybe it's not as complex as people are making it seem. So I really appreciate this conversation we're having right now.
Yeah, I like talking about stocks. Honestly, like I enjoy talking about investments and I enjoy talking about different financial options. I enjoy talking to people who haven't made it yet because at the end of the day, it's very difficult to identify with somebody who has been successful in the stock game. You almost look at them like they're a genius or that's impossible. It's damn, they're intimidating. But in all actuality, that can be you. You just, we talked about this in our previous financial literacy class and in other or on podcasts and other podcasts where people don't want to do the brunt work. They don't want to do the research. They just want this quick, easy come up. And unfortunately, it's just not like that. Every success story you see, you just see their success. You didn't see their struggle. Most people who were investing in stocks have lost millions of dollars in stocks and they had to figure out how to gain it back and had to come back off of it.
That's a great point you make when you don't hear about the losses. Because I'm going to tell you, you see these guys on social media, specifically Twitter. And, you know, I call it financial Twitter. And I be messing with them a lot of times because once a week I'll tweet, are there any cryptocurrency advisors left? When that joint dipped, you ain't hear nobody else talk about it.
Nobody.
It was easy to talk about it when it was going up. But when the markets got choppy and they saw, you know, those major dips, people started shying away. But, yeah, going back to, you know, when you don't hear about losses, like you said, nobody's undefeated in the stock market. Like, every investor has taken a loss on a stock. Like, no, nobody's undefeated. So, it's important.
Damn, where y'all at?
That wasn't us.
It wasn't me. Y'all in the field? What the hell?
We in the Finney Mansion. We chilling.
Okay. Well, so where you at though? Say it again.
He in the Finney
motherfucking who? I heard that.
He let you know it's no cars around here. There are cars. The road is nowhere near here.
It's me. I ain't
gotta take the little scooter to the road. What do you mean,
bro? I'm sorry. All right, get back on track.
We do electric vehicles over here. No sound. No emissions.
You gonna start shitting on me?
He didn't have to slide because his car was loud. No, his car was quiet.
So going back to it. We were talking about, for the losses, like you said, there's going to be dips in the market, and you know, you can either take it two ways. You can get fearful and you can hop out and you're going to lock in that loss, or you can ride it out. And even while it's down, you can buy more shares at what I call on sale, because you're buying them at a lower, you know, cost basis. So when it does, you know, pull back up, in most cases in the stock market, then that's when you really, you know, get to see those additional profits. So, yeah, you know, you got to stay. I call it staying the course. Stay the course. Don't get in the market to try to flip, you know, money to take a vacation next month. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's risky, because if the price on your asset or your stocks go down, you may not be taking that vacation. Straight up.
And another thing, when you get your first dividends, invest in stuff that's going to kick back. You do not take that money and trick it up. You invest it back in the stock market. All the stock market money is extra play money on the side. You don't take your life savings and put it in no fucking, just like you don't go to Vegas with your life savings. You just don't do that. I wouldn't advise it. I mean, you can, and possibly you could come up. I just personally wouldn't advise it. So
yeah, definitely. When you get those dividends, and the platform that I use to place my trades, when I buy the stock, it asks you, you know, do you want to reinvest your dividends or do you want to receive the dividends in cash? And I'm like, reinvest them joints. Like, I'm not here to take the money out, as you said. I'm here to, you know, I wanted to flip like a gym. I want to do gymnastic flips, cartwheels, somersaults. I want that joint to keep flipping, you know what I'm saying? So one day that I can retire from corporate America, you know, before I'm like 65, you know what I'm saying? I don't have gray hair, you know, putting in my resignation letter.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, I think when we talk about investing, I think one of our issues is that we don't like to win from our losses. Now, it may sound crazy, but what people do who are wealthy is whenever they have a loss, they learn from that.
Yep.
You know, and what we tend to do is whenever we get a loss, it's like, okay, I don't ever want to do that.
We shy away from it instead of learning the lesson.
Exactly. And then what tends to happen is now you got people who want to live these, you know, high lives where, you know, they're making all this money, but you're not trying to learn through your losses. So basically, you want a steak dinner, but you only know how to make oodles and noodles. So you have to make sure, like, all the losses that you take, you can always take a lesson out of it.
Yes, I agree with you 110%. You definitely can, especially when it comes to the stock market. Every single thing that you do is a lesson. Everything, whether it's a win, whether it's a loss, whether it was sheer luck, whether it was strategic, it's all, you're strategically always learning. And you can do exactly what a broker does. You can do exactly what investors do. You just have to put in the grunt work and learn. Now, a lot of they have a lot of online investors, they have a lot of online brokers. You also have to be safe with scams. People will take your money, claim they invested in some shit, and they're lying. They're not going to do anything but let that shit sit there and then cash out with your money. So in my opinion, even if you do hire a broker or an accountant or you hire an investor, you always should have knowledge of at least what's going on. Don't be blind and have somebody completely have control of your money. That is your money at the end of the day. Know what to do with your money.
The queen is over here preaching. She's preaching to the congregation. So if I can ask, do you place your own trades or do you use an advisor? How do you approach your investments?
Who, me? I'm one of them people who still keep putting my foot in the water. Now I have, like, okay. Which, that's another thing, too.
That's good, though.
You
that's
can
good.
Invest. They're just within my company. That was another thing I was going to highlight when you said corporate America. Milk the shit out of corporate America the way they do you. You get a discount on stocks with certain companies when you work for them. Take advantage of it. Certain companies are now having you invest your 401k into stocks. Do that. You're not going to touch that money regardless. So why not utilize that money to invest? You don't have it right now. You don't have to save up $1,000. You don't have to save up $5,000. You can utilize money that you put away. You can utilize your insurance for stocks. There are so many different ways and so much money that you don't touch that you can use to make money. So that's where I'm at, where I have a diverse portfolio where I have like little stocks here and there, but I haven't ever dove in. I know my little top five companies I want to mess with, but I'm not going to lie. I'm one of them people where my vice is that I'm scary. I'm not going to lie. Like it takes, and even with meeting with different people and networking, I've met with like CPAs and business consultants and real estate, like just different. If you go to networking events, you'll meet so many people, period. That's another thing, people network. Entrepreneurship network. And my biggest thing is I have cold feet. I'm like really scared of everything. I don't want to be in debt. I'm afraid of debt. So that's my biggest thing.
I tell you, if as a community, if we are comfortable taking a Tinder date, we should be comfortable investing in the stock, okay?
I don't make no Tinder dates, so there you go. I don't do that. Right. And we are podcast about it. I don't meet up with no niggas. No flyouts.
Hey, you do. All right, if not Tinder, you do Soul Swipe.
Yeah. You sound so far away in your mini mansion. What y'all on some Boost hot wire shit? Like you sound real far.
You do Christian mingle?
No, I don't believe in online dating. I think that's desperate. No disrespect.
So what do you think is the number one factor into your fear? Of, I guess, not fear, but just your cautious mindset when investing.
My whole thing is this. I don't like to go into anything ignorant. So my whole thing is I like to read. I like to research. I like to, because like I said, I'm the type of person where you're not going to tell me, yes, you're going to advise me, but I'm not going to be ignorant to the advice you're giving me. I'm going to be knowledgeable of what you're investing my money in. I'm going to know the market. So that's
God fucking shit.
Sorry, y'all. I'm in the hood. These kids came on my car real loud. What the fuck?
What? I heard him though. He's funny.
God damn. Bro. I gotta roll up my window real quick. Anyway.
We about to come to y'all hood and hold a financial literacy workshop.
Bro.
Y'all block.
You know what?
Honestly, people need it.
That would be dope. That would really be dope.
I am so
down.
We
out Delaware. Where y'all at? We out Delaware.
I'm in Jersey. Right. Shoot, come to New York.
I'm kind of with y'all. I'm in Virginia.
I'm in Michigan.
I'm in California.
You be quiet. No one might talk to you.
Oh, we got this. We got every region covered. Okay. We're on a different
Detroit
time zone.
I mean, Detroit low-key a gold mine. So for real, I need to carry my ass up to that cold bitch and get this money. But my whole thing is this. Okay, for instance, like you said, when holding workshops, I definitely agree with doing stuff like that. And that's something within LLC, my cousin and I want to work on, which is helping people. Hood people have the best ideas, y'all. No lie. They have great ideas. They lack the knowledge of how to execute them properly. For instance, in our neighborhood, we have people who are trying to organize boxing for kids because, of course, there's a lot of aggression in the hood. But, of course, they don't have the permits. They don't have the license that they're supposed to have. So that's where our company would come into place and help you type stuff, go through that process. And just like the same thing with stocks, instead of trying to scam people out, you can legit get people to invest. It's so much better to, instead of scamming people out, to actually invest in people and teach them. Okay. To have them, it'll help you in the end more. When you scam everybody in your neighborhood who has potential, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to scam anybody else. They all know about you. But if you actually help people and help them grow, you just built a network and a market for you and your business. And this is what wealth is, people. This is what the black community lacks, is this right here, what he just said.
That's very
going
true.
To the hood and teaching That's people. True. Hood people are naturally talented as fuck. They just lack the knowledge because in the hood, it's not cool to be smart. Well, guess what? I am a nerd.
And I also think that the hood, they don't apply themselves sometimes.
That is true.
Like, the opportunities could be right in front of them, but it's like that laziness in their souls where they don't want to put forth the effort because, like, you know, with investing, you have to have that long-term mentality. So if it doesn't give you no instant gratification, and sometimes people are like, eh, you know, next, you know, I'd rather go ahead and flip a couple packs and get that quick flip.
I am so sorry, y'all. I got a lot of shit going on in this app.
We just want to make sure you're safe, okay? That's all we worry
about. This shit is ignorant. I'm so sorry.
Because before you can start making these big investments, we got to make sure your health is good, okay? So just make sure you're safe. That's all we worried about right now.
No, I'm good. It's just like, why the fuck is a train here of all the times? Why did this group of niggas walk past my car dumb loud? It's just any other time that shit don't happen, but now that I'm engaged, I want to do this.
It's crazy out of Virginia, apparently. But no, so here's the thing. I want to try and tackle some of the points you made as far as why you don't want to invest. I would say one thing that you can do, and one thing everybody can do, is look around you. You know, we the type of people, we know every movie on Netflix. We know every control on our iPhones. Like, that is your product right there. If you know the company in and out and you're using it every day, that could be a good company to maybe buy a couple shares in. You know,
that's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah,
like,
I understand what you're saying is 100% right. You don't never want to go into something blindsided, you know. But like I said, we use a lot of these stocks and their products. You know, like, if you were in Apple 10 years ago, I guarantee you, you wouldn't have no trains running around you, you know.
For sure. I'd be chilling in a mini mansion too.
It'd be a different situation, you know. And then the second point I want to make is, it's one of the best times for you to actually start trading, because yo, there are a lot of platforms that are giving you free trades. Like, I don't know if y'all ever heard of this platform called Robinhood.
Yes, Robinhood is. I have the app on my phone right now, and you can literally refer people to buy stocks, and you can monitor the market right there in your hand. And you are absolutely right.
What's exactly.
That is 110.
It's free. It's free.
As fuck.
It's free, and that's the thing. To trade, you usually have to pay at least $6.95 per trade. You know, so you have this platform that's basically saying, "Yo, we are going to waive that fee, and you can trade." Now, of course, you gotta do your research, like you said. Never just take somebody's word. You know, I don't care who it is. Never. You gotta make sure you fact check everybody. You know, like, cause I didn't see people close to me tell me things that I thought was great for me, and you know, I end up in a crazy spot. So yeah, make sure you do your research and take advantage of everything that's around you.
And if it sounds too good to be true, if you have somebody who's trying to sell you financial literacy or trying to help you invest in stock markets, and they're telling you as far as, oh, well, you can make all this money, they keep selling you a pipe dream over and over and it becomes repetitive, scam. Bitch, let's talk about the money. We're not talking, I mean, not the money. Let's talk about gaining the knowledge to get the money. Don't just keep telling me I'm going to have a cash cow. Don't just keep telling me that's a scam. Because I've seen this one man who made a lot of money off of stock markets, very successful man, very intelligent, but he was basically trying to force you to buy into Bitcoin. And it's like, nigga, for what? Like, relax. You haven't taught me anything. You just keep saying, I'm going to get rich.
And you know what? I want to let my guy Josh talk about mutual funds and like index funds and other ways that you can get into the market and not be as risky.
Yeah.
Go ahead, spell that to you.
Diversify.
Throwing around acronyms, ETFs, and all types of stuff. Nah, but so with mutual funds and ETFs or exchange traded funds, this is where you have a collection of stuffed into one fund. So, like for Christmas, you got a bunch of stocks just stuffed into one Santa's little stuffing thing. So, and what this allows is, this allows you to get an array of stocks for a cheaper price. So, for example, we talk about you have different, you know, ETF providers or mutual fund providers. You may have heard of like iShares or
Vanguard is popular now.
Yeah, I'll say Vanguard's the most popular one. By far, I would say, in the country, you know, with their mutual funds, the ETF.
They blew up.
What this does is it gives you access to so many stocks and the one fund versus you having to buy each one of those stocks, you know, on their own. So, you know, we talk about, you know, Apple stock. That's above 200 now. It's about 215. We talk about Amazon. You know, Amazon, that's about $1,900 per share.
Yeah, quick.
But what happens? That joint shot up. That's crazy.
And if they take over pharmaceuticals, I still would actually say don't sleep on Amazon, because they're in the works of talking about taking over pharmaceuticals and getting to a point where they ship out medication. Bitch, you better buy that stock, because once that happens,
they're
done.
They're disrupting so many industries.
Yes.
And like Bezos, yo, he's just going to everything.
He is.
And like nobody's going to stop him. So going back to the mutual funds, ETFs, what happens is with these type of funds, each stock holds a certain weight or percentage of that fund. So, for instance, you may have like, you know, a large cap fund where it's going to hold your large companies, and there could be, you know, different IT companies. So you think about, you know, your Apple or your Microsoft, and then it could hold some oil companies. You know, you think about your Chevrons, your Exxon Mobil. Then you may have different consumer staples. You think about Walmart, Target. So when people say, oh, well, you know, I hear the excuse, I don't have, you know, the money to invest, or how much money, you know, do you need a lot of money to invest? No, you don't.
You don't at all.
Charles Schwab right now, they have funds. You can buy large cap funds, mid cap. You can buy international ETFs for as low as $29. You know, some are going for $40 depending on the type of fund you use. But going back to what you were saying before, with every fund, they're going to have what they call a fact piece. and you want to check this fact sheet out, because this is what's going to tell you what stocks that fund holds and what's the percentage. And the reason that that is important is because you could buy multiple funds, but if the various funds that you purchase all have, you know, similar stocks, you know, holding the largest weights of those funds, then actually your portfolio is not going to be as diversified as you think, because in a case like that, you'll have a few stocks that are what we call top heavy, and then you have a bunch of other stocks, you know, that are minuscule percentages of your portfolio. So when we talk about ETFs and mutual funds, they are a great way to get into the market at a low price, but you still want to check to see what holdings are in those funds.
Yeah, and I was going to add a little bit to that. Like, imagine if, you know, let's say everybody's out here, you know, in the dating pool. You got, like, a few people that you got your eye on. Imagine if you could have everybody come to your crib, and then you don't have to go out and date. So they just come to your crib, and they say, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I can do for you. You save your gas. You save your energy. That's kind of what a mutual fund is like. You have all these stocks just in one, and you don't have to have the risk that associated solely with just one. You have a risk that's associated with everything bundled in one, you know, but it's better to have that entire basket than it is just have that one stock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's definitely 100% right. That's the last thing I was actually researching. And that's what I do. I was going to say another thing. When I take my little tolerance breaks from Twitter or from social media in general, it's because if I'm not gaining money off of it, I feel like I should be utilizing that time in which I'm learning more to how to get more money. So just like you said, you have an iPhone in your hand, invest in it. Invest it in more ways than one. You don't necessarily have to buy stock an iPhone or an Apple, but you definitely can utilize this phone to monitor the stock market. You definitely can utilize this phone to look at what is that stuff and Investor Topia. That's a really good website to break down things on another level. It's almost like taking a free course.
Yeah, Investopedia.
Yeah, thank you. I mean,
And just so people can relate, I actually use Investopedia when I began investing myself, just to learn about, you know, the different investment etiquette and really, you know, how you can get into the stock market without being a quote unquote expert, or, you know, being Cramer off CNBC or, yeah, you know, Warren Buffett. Like, you know, it's really simple. You know, you take the time, you read, and then you know, don't hop into one of those super risky investments, you know, like alternatives. We think about gold or, you know, silver or something like that. You get into one of these funds where you have, you know, your Apple, your Amazons, you have some mid-cap companies, you know, on the rise, maybe like semiconductor companies that make the chips that go into many of our electronic devices that we use on a daily basis. So has anyone heard of like Nvidia? Maybe they make gaming chips.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, y'all, like Intel. You know, Intel, they, you know, you hear about them making the processors on many laptops, things like that.
That's dope.
So,
what is it called again?
You want to diversify. What was that again?
Yeah, what's it called again?
Oh, Intel. Intel.
Okay.
Yeah, Intel. Yep. Or NVIDIA. NVIDIA. Yep. So, and there's so many sectors on in the market where you can look at. You know, you think about IT, consumer staples, pharmaceuticals, biotech. I mean, there's so many places that you can invest. But I will say one thing about diversification. You want to be mindful. When you get to a point where you start to select individual stocks, I typically suggest maybe following about 15 to 20 stocks. Because what happens is, when you follow too many stocks, you take up so much of your time that you can't really, you know, effectively look at the fundamentals and just keeping up with the everyday operations of those companies. Like, just imagine you're trying to keep up with like 50 individual companies. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot to do. That takes a lot of your time. And realistically, you know, on a daily basis, who wants to keep up with that many companies?
Nobody has time for all that.
Right. Nobody has time for all that. Correct. And that's only when you start to individually pick stocks. But like I said, I would definitely suggest when you begin investing, use funds to get your feet wet, to really see, you know, how the market operates. You start to read about the different market cycles. You might have been hearing on the television lately, on the radio, how the analysts are predicting, you know, a possible recession in the next couple of years.
Another one I don't have time ready for.
So you don't even have time for that. So 50 stocks, you definitely have time for it.
That's okay. So I wanted you to touch on the situation that happened when somebody had asked you not only to invest, but they wanted a loan, which was so crazy.
It was, honestly, it was crazy. So my man hit me up. He texted me. He said, verbatim, he said, can I get a loan / investment of $300? So I said, hold on, that's kind of a contradiction. Like, is it a loan or am I investing or something? You know, that caught me off guard. So, my personal rule is I'm going to always bluff you when you first ask me for some bread. So, I hit him back. I was like, man, I got to wait the next Friday to give you. Just to see how you're going to react. You know what I'm saying? You're poker facing. So, I told him that. So he said, dang, man, all right, thank you, bro. So, I was like, all right, he really needed it. You know what I'm saying? So, eventually, I asked him, I said, what you need it for? So then he eventually goes on to explain it was the some type of tax lien workshop he's trying to send. And I believe the price of the workshop was about $1,500. But the thing was, that $1,500 was a special price only for that day. So, like, he needed the $300 that day. He couldn't wait to, quote unquote, next Friday and he'd give it to him. So, you know, we're going back and forth. He's telling me more about the workshop. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, all right, should I send it to him? But here's the rent. He's currently unemployed. So, we already know how hard it is to get paid back by our friends who employ.
Right. So if you unemployed, you definitely ain't finna see that money. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's
right.
Over.
Right. But this one of my top, I would say this one of my top three friends. So, you know, he kind of, you know, he get the exception in a sense. So I was like, all right, we need the cash today. It's a tax workshop. He was telling me, you know, he can go to this workshop and this may open up some personal ventures in the future for him to, you know, really get things going on an entrepreneurial level. So I'm like, all right. So here's the plot twist. The plot twist is before I can even make a decision, I get the little whiz that pops down on my iPhone that says, you have a $300 cash request on Cash App.
Wait a minute. You didn't time to send the money and he requesting it.
Before I could even come to a decision, cuz went ahead and said, yo, he's like, fuck, I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm
hey, at least he consistent though.
Right, he's persistent. Hey, he was persistent. So, I was like, yo, so I'm kind of looking at, I'm coming from my heart, I'm like, all right, this my man, like, he must really need it, because, you know, he just, you know, came out the rip, like, he sent a request, he didn't even allow me to make a decision. He's like, all right, I'm going to put the ball in his court. So that's kind of how I took it. I was like, all right, he's trying to put it in my court and see, you know, where, am I a man of honor? So guess what I did? I opened the app, and without even thinking, I put my thumbprint on my home button and I sent the money. I said, fuck it. Wow. Mm. I don't know what came over me.
Mm.
Oh, you know what? He probably really needed.
I mean, he's a better man than me, you know, but I just feel as though with all your friends, you put some level of worth on them, you know, so you know who your ancient friends are, you know, so if I were to get a
they request, they cut the like, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. You if I were to get a request shit. Like that, you gotta evaluate the person. Like, imagine this: what if somebody like, let's say this was Barack Obama when he was still in school. You know, he comes to you and he asks. If he comes to me and asks for $5K for $5,000, I'm like, well, I know his character. You know, that may sound crazy, but I feel like I could definitely get that back. You know, so I feel like with all our friends, we have some type of system of evaluating them and figuring out, okay.
Absolutely not.
But Barack Obama is employed.
Like, no, like, hold on real quick. Like, I literally just got one friend that literally sends me Cash App requests, bro. Like, what? And I have to reevaluate her because, like, nobody on this phone has ever, and I talk to these folks, like, almost every day, has never sent me no Cash App. Like, what? That's crazy.
Without even asking first, they just sent
right. Me. Like, no, you just. Some people are just really comfortable with just asking for things and feel that they're gonna get it.
See the way my pride is set up.
Right.
Yeah. Can't do it.
Now, what if they said the Holy Spirit moved me to send this request to you?
You need to go and talk to your Holy Spirit because this ain't it. We ain't got the same God. What God is
talking to? and that's
I don't know like, that man.
But Barack Obama is employed. My man is unemployed. So like, you know, like his debt to income ratio is pretty ass because he ain't got no income. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm trying to go through this loan application.
But where's the job at though?
Right, and I'm like, yo, where's the income? Like, you know, and I know he not into no tax free money. So, but here's the thing, though, we all have friends that we know have visions. Like, I heard a story of Kevin Hart actually gave Tiffany Haddish rent money back in the day.
That was different, though. That was different.
I mean, but she was still struggling. She was struggling.
Bro, I don't care. Like, you know, like I respect everybody's dream. You feel me? But it got to be one of them things to where it's a balance. You can't come and expect me to invest in your dream and you don't sit and invest and support mine. Like, not there's no not balance. Even
that. I got kids, bro.
And, right. Like, we got families. We trying to do, you know, we trying to myself. Do things. Shit. We're trying to build. And that's the disconnect with a lot that is always one-sided. They want you to invest, but they don't never want to, you know, see you prosper or anything. Like, I done put money into other people's pockets for their dream. And I have not gotten not one, like, your podcast is dope. I like what you're doing, this, that, and the third. But you can send me a link for your raggedy-ass t-shirts, though, right?
Yeah. And where's the barter system?
They put one word on there and be like, all right, $50 per shirt.
Where is
like almost $30 for that shirt. You know, like, it's like little things like that. Like, I don't mind spending, but it's no balance. It's not reciprocated at all. So, like, he was unemployed. He bold. He is bold.
And
when he becomes employed, it's going to take him like 10 years to give you back $300.
Oh, no. That's the thing. So
I was just going to ask that. Did he ever get your money back?
So he requested last week. So he said he was going to try to have half of it by this Friday. He put it on layaway. He's like, all right, I'm going to pay $150 this Friday. And then he was like, all right, after that, I'm going to just try to get it as soon as possible.
Okay, so, you know what? Let me just cut that real quick. That. If he can sit here and try to get that money to pay you back, he could have went and asked somebody else for that same money without having to pay you back in increments. Yo, you didn't give him that money in increments. Why is he paying you back in increments?
Right.
So that's because he ain't got the money. Dog.
Exactly. He gave you
something. That's what I'm saying. Instead of asking him, like, he only asked you because of what you do. He could have asked somebody else. The same way he's getting that money in increments, he could have asked the same people for that money in increments.
That brings up a topic. So why is it, and I've never understood this, maybe I'm not sure, why is it that now, you know, our peers or our friends are more comfortable asking, you know, their friends for money versus their parents?
Because
I know his family. Like, his family, like, they not super rich, but they far from poor. Like, I know.
They in the middle.
Well, like,
they in the middle. They middle class.
I know.
Even middle class to have 300. Sheesh. Like,
true question is, the reason
he probably burnt his bridges with mad people. That's why he asked you.
Because it depends on the character. Because if they...
Hold on.
No, I just wanted to add, Main Man's probably listening to this interview. You're not getting your money back no more, yo.
Just to fast forward it, I get a Cash App notification on Tuesday, and it was the $300. So I don't know if he signed up for the workshop or not, but I got my $300 back.
Hey.
So it ended well. So I guess he got like an 800 credit score with me right now at the moment.
This fool said 800 credit score.
You really got to put credit scores on your friends. Cause
I'm glad you said that, because now smart. I'm definitely about to do that.
Yes.
Now I'm about to start that.
You got to have the whole. You got to have a whole Equifax for your friends. Like, yo, you remember back in like spring 17? I ain't never get that $80 back.
But they'll call you petty for doing that, though. Right. That's the funny part. That's the wild part.
That's the thing.
I'm on petty when I handed it to you, bitch.
You know who the worst people are? The worst people are the people that you got to ask them for your money back, and then they want to guilt trip you like it ain't that much money. Like, if it ain't that much money, then why you
ask for it
in the first place?
Why you about this real big $20? Yo, I didn't need your dusty $20 in the first place.
The bitch, yes, the fuck you did.
But look, if it's $20, how about I take a tire off your car and see how that $20, how important that $20 is when I jack up your car and take the damn hubcaps?
That's called a personal investment, y'all. It's like, you know, I personally think they're the worst investments. Investing in people is, it's very much of a gamble. It's more of a gamble than, it's like Russian roulette more than blackjack. Blackjack, you have a really good chance of winning. Russian roulette, yeah. So to me, I personally don't think invest your money. Yeah, it ain't gonna happen. That's the, yeah. I personally don't invest your money in people, especially when you ain't got your own shit together. You got your shit together and you feel like being, you know, real Oprah-like, do you Oprah on your level? But if you ain't got your shit together, you can't invest in nobody, can you? You can't help nobody else.
I think something that would stop people from asking their friends for money is if you start attacking the banks, dude.
Hell yeah.
Like, all right.
When you make them sit down and have a contract, bitch, I'll take you to court.
Right.
They don't want to like, money,
though. I can lend you this. Like, I'm gonna
you can go to court and do little small claims.
Yeah, small claims.
But if you have that contract, it's definite. It isn't a he say, she say bullshit thing. Because that could still get dismissed if you don't have any concrete proof that they said they were going
to
pay you back.
That's what people need to start doing when they hand out money real quick. Contract. Yep. Put that in writing. And I will sue you. I will go to court.
And will.
Either you hand out a contract.
That will affect your credit report. That affects your credit report.
Yes. Hand out a contract or hand out a fade. Whichever one you feel is most appropriate.
So, if we do a contract, if it can mess with my credit report, you take me to court. Can you take me to court when I pay your ass back so it can help my credit go up?
it'll be on your credit.
Yeah, come on, make my credit look good when I borrow money from you then.
Well, yeah, that shit like the stock market. Money. That shit went down and it's just gonna go back up to where it was before. I mean, it ain't gonna help you.
But it's still gonna be up there on your credit report. It's not like it's gonna disappear. Like, somebody looking at your credit report, they gonna see that small claims judgment. Like, oh, okay. I mean, your credit score nice, but that judgment's still there. Like,
right. So it's like you go to apply for a job, and they gonna be like, damn, this dude can't even pay back $3. Like, why can't he? Like, he that petty? Like, he definitely bound not to show up to work on time.
That is funny. But actually, even though it's funny and delivery is funny, it's valid as fuck. Like, for real, rate your little broke-ass friends. You know, some of them are to have a good time. Like, I got my friends I go out and I party with. Bitch, I will never, ever, ever, ever take you on no real
Oh, God.
Your credit score is like 450, my nigga. Then there's friends out here who I get money with, who we have real conversation with, who I'm going to invite to a networking event. You're not going to be ignorant, have your tongue out, shaking your ass, embarrassing me. There's people who you really got to rate. And yeah. No, because I'm not going to sit here. I like ratchet friends ain't fun. They just ain't fun for everything.
Yeah. I think you got to know how to, you know, differentiate your two groups of friends. So you got to have, you know, your corporate and your network friends. And then, you know, you got to have the friends that, you know, you can ride out to like some Boosie and Webby with.
You know, not Boosie and Webby.
you need a good balance of rich and broke friends. You definitely need that balance. Because I love
my friends.
The adjective broke isn't what I use. I said ratchet. I don't hang out with no broke niggas. Like, because when you go out, you're going to want me to pay for shit. And I'm going to have to skim my shit because you ain't got it. No.
Right. They're gonna be standing at the bar looking at you with the sad
face. I'm not firing like, down with you every time I see you. No, bitch. You're not getting high off my chip. You're not hitting my bottle. It's getting old. Nah. I don't do that. No.
So I have a coworker, right?
It's tough on VA streets.
Yeah. I got a coworker, right? And I guess he likes to work out. He likes to act like he has his own business with being a personal trainer and some other shit, right? And so he went out with my homeboy or whatever. And he went out with them to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, right? I guess it was my boy and his wife and then the other dude. So they at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I guess he's sitting there and he orders $40 worth of food, right?
Oh, Lord. It's going downhill already.
He tells my boy, he's like, hey, look, I ain't got it right now, but I get paid. When I get paid, though, I got you back. Right, but mind you, he's showing pictures of his abs and all that stuff to my homeboy's wife and shit during this time, talking about how much you work out and this and whatever, right?
Oh, flag on the plate. He's showing pictures of his abs to somebody's wife.
So that's how broke niggas be though. They be trying. They gotta use another channel to get that.
So
woman.
Then we get paid. I think we got paid the next day. And there was like a gut truck outside or whatever where you can go get food and shit. So he goes to this truck. He gets a whole thing of food. My homeboy hits me up. He's like, bro, why does motherfucker tell me that he ain't had no money yesterday? I spent $40 for him. And he came back with a bag of food from the truck. And that truck is like $5 for like a sandwich. So if he came back with a whole bunch of stuff, he spent at least $20 at the truck. So then he goes and he invites my homeboy and he says, hey, you know, let's go to B-Dubs and hang out, you know, whatever. So my homeboy's like, you know what? Okay, cool. He said, I'm about to go get my money. He was like, I'm going to come over to your house, but I'm going to go get my money first. So he was like, he went out to Buffalo Wild Wings. They ordered. He said he ordered. He told him, he said, hey, I know I probably spent a little more. If it's more, you know, don't worry about it, but just, you know, pay the same 40 that, you know, I paid for you yesterday. So, this motherfucker paid for his shit. And mind you, there was another person that that was with him, one of his coworkers that was with him too. But he paid for his shit, and he said, all right, y'all, I'm out. And left.
He sound like he's straight out of broke Twitter. Like he's straight.
But
out of
the
broke
gag
Twitter.
Is, they get paid on the 1st and 15th, so I'm not understanding what's going on.
So the issue is, I don't want to put all this business out. The issue
it
is,
don't matter.
Got,
we talking. Put it out. You already called it, put that shit out.
as long as you don't use his name, right. There's no flag on the plate. Right.
So he has issues. He's got 2 DUIs.
Wow.
He's
His pay is affected. Go ahead.
So yeah, so he's been paying for lawyers and shit.
Okay.
You know, for that.
He don't need to go nowhere. Go ahead.
So then at the same time, he wherever he works out at or whatever the gym, he was paying them I think $500 or $800 a month to be able to work out there to have clients come there. And
what?
He said he would get maybe I think he said maybe he would get $400.
I am so confused that what the fuck is going on.
So he loses $400.
Basically,
month,
yeah. Right. Plus he's paying the lawyers. Plus he's does whatever. Then he moved off of base because he was like, I'm giving him all my BAH. Well, the apartment that he stays in is $2,000 anyway.
That don't sound like smart money management.
At all. So then he asked me, he's like, yeah, how much do you pay? I was like, well, about to pay 17. I said, but I'm paying 15 right now. And he was like, yeah, I'm about to go over there and talk to them because I got to move.
Yeah, nigga, you ain't got no money.
Tell him he need to come on the Corporate Coke and Smack podcast. We need to have intervention.
Well, like, yesterday we had my same homeboy. His wife works for military people. And they give them like advice on what to invest their money in, or how to better off their career military wise with TSP and your retirement and all that stuff. So then I guess he set up an appointment with her. Hopefully this shit works.
But he broke. It don't matter what he do. Like, he still got paid for lawyers. Like, what you mean, bro?
His life is in shambles, and the last thing he should be thinking about is pussy. Like,
well, that's all he's thinking about. So then there's a girl that works there.
Oh, God.
And I guess, remember, this is the one I told you that the girl jumped over the balcony. So,
Lord have mercy.
She's been flirting with me, I guess. I don't know if it's to get back at him or just because.
Oh, yeah. But anyway. Yeah. I remember
that. So she's been flirting with me. So now what he's been doing is he comes to my office now and just stands outside my office, I guess, to make sure she doesn't come in there. And then he started getting jealous because he was like, oh, I know you're going out with her tonight or something. I'm like, bruh.
How old is he?
28, 29, I think.
I would be like, I'm going out with her because I can afford it.
That hurt me. I'm sad.
It's love with this. Tell him like Meek said, it's love to this shit, young boy. Like,
cool. The bad thing is he's like, so he thinks he's good. Whatever he does, he's good at. He thinks he's a pretty boy.
Is he light skinned?
No, he's dark. He's real dark, actually. But his dad,
real dark.
His dad was the first artist.
Look. This is the perfect example of why you cannot have broke ass, retarded ass friends. This is making me tired listening to this shit. I'm about to go fucking lay down. Can we talk about stocks again?
I can't have this rubbing off on our lifestyle. You feel me? Like, nah.
He needs more than he needs help.
A sponsor. Yeah, you better fuck him on some old ladies.
All seriousness, he does need help. He needs a balance sheet so he can write down what's going on.
No, he needs to go to rehab and just not. He don't need alcohol because alcohol is the problem. Yeah. All right.
And he needs to cancel that gym membership that he got.
I think he did because, like I said, he was losing. And we were telling him, we were like, hey, all you have to do is, since you think you're so pretty, take your ass to the fucking beach and start giving out cards and work out somewhere else. You don't have to fucking work out in the gym if you know what you're doing.
You can work out on the beach.
Yeah.
But see, then he gonna ask you for gas money to get to the
beach. You can work out your house, nigga. If you don't put your legs under that motherfucking couch, you can work out outside, nigga. The hell? I'm tired. I want to cuss him out. I'm tired of hearing about him. Like, what is going on?
See, people like him, like, that's just inconsiderate.
They just frustrate me.
Because it's like he's taking advantage of, you know, your kindliness of, all right, I'm going to let him borrow money. But then they're not even considering, all right, maybe, you know, Josh can need this money back himself, you know, for, you know, a bill or something at the end of the month.
But and it doesn't matter because bro is broke. Like, why his broke problems should be a concern for somebody else that gave him the money? Like, he don't care about that. Exactly. He ain't got no money to give back. And
I knew something was wrong with his money when he came up to the battalion one day, right? And everybody went to lunch. And everybody went to lunch. And we came back, and this motherfucker was eating noodles with two coffee stirs.
Yo, he was envisioning a sushi. That's what he was envisioning. He's like,
life should never be that bad.
He said, "Hey, this is the lunch of champions." Then his coworkers came back and they had ate, and they didn't bring him back nothing to eat. He was like, "Bro, why didn't y'all tell me I was going to go get something?"
He ain't got no money.
Because he wanted them to buy it for him.
Like the lunch of champions.
Like everybody in the office know you broke. Of course we're gonna sneak out the back door for lunch. Like
y'all getting mad. Like for real, if you're struggling like this, I'm not gonna knock for you struggling, but don't do it for no reason. This nigga that's just a mess.
And he an E6, so he makes more money than me. That's the bad part.
He's an E6 and he has no money. That makes the situation even worse. Okay, you know what?
That shows that your income doesn't necessarily mean
that
you know you're gonna have a higher net worth than someone else. Because
see, that's the disconnect, because people think just because you're making money, you good. People be making so much money, like people don't understand. Like the more money you make, the more expenses you get. Yes. I don't care what nobody say. Like it was at one point where I had two jobs and I was making like almost over $4,000 a month. And my expenses was through the roof. I'm like, damn, now I'm rich. I can buy all this stuff. I can do this. I can do that. And then, like, when I quit my job, I'm like, okay, so, like, what now? Like, what? Like, how do I cover these expenses? And then now that's how you incur debt. Now that's when you have a problem. And then now you got to try to get out of debt and out of your issues with one income that's now significantly cut in half. Like, it's crazy.
And that's when you got to learn the system. So the thing, like you, just like you said, where it comes to the more money, more problems type shit, more money, more expenses, that is valid because taxes are going to hit that ass up. But guess what, nigga? Guess who don't pay taxes like that? Rich people. Guess the fuck who has the system work for them? Rich people. Guess who gets their asses beat every day? Middle class and poor people trying to compete and trying to prove to rich people they rich, and rich people looking at you like, bitch, you far from it. You far from it because you don't need no loopholes of how not to pay taxes, and I'm making three times more than you made. So it's like, at the end of the day, that's where that knowledge comes into play. That's where it comes into play, where you're continuously, like you said, what did you say that you were as a student, where you're continually educating yourself. You'll never, ever be on top.
Student of the game. I'm a student of the game.
Exactly. You just and keep it moving.
Something that's very popular in society is lifestyle inflation. So as you mentioned, you know, people make more money and, you know, they want to go out and they want to go from a Chevy to a Benz overnight.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, that sounds good, but yeah.
Right. Okay. And people don't realize, you know, they want to go from 2 vacations a year to 5 vacations. They want to go from considering, you know, that $250,000 townhome to now they want to try to get into a $500,000 single-family home. It's like, even though you're making more, you can use some of that additional income to invest to grow even more versus using it to buy, you know, other, you know, a depreciating asset like a car. Or you know, you may take an additional vacation, that's fine. But you just got to be mindful because, like you said, those expenses can creep up. And before you know it, it's like, you know, you may get that raise to $80,000 a year. But if you're increasing your spending, then you're still going to be living like you're making $50,000 a year. Like, you're not going to really realize that increase in your salary due to your increase in, you know, your outflows or your spending.
Yeah, but people don't understand that. People think because, like, but that's why, like, these conversations happen a lot on Twitter. It seems like everybody's rich on Twitter. They're not rich. Like, but real quick, it was a tweet that popped up maybe like a month ago, and it was talking, and the girl was saying that $40 a month isn't a lot of money. And when you really start breaking it down realistically, it's not a lot of money. And then a lot of people on Twitter, and it's really like, I don't even know how old are y'all? Like, I know how old my crew
28.
Is.
Oh, 28.
Okay, 20. And your partner?
28 as well.
Okay, so great. So we're literally all on the same page. Okay, perfect. So a lot of the conversations when it comes to financial situations on Twitter comes from a lot of the younger
you can't
kids.
Even claim yourself on your taxes, but you're trying to give out financial advice.
They feel dependent.
So, So basically, that she was saying $40 wasn't a lot of money and an hour, which is it's really not. And then people younger was saying that, you know, everybody's on Twitter that's rich, this and the third, but I don't think they really understand. Like, your $40 an hour in New Jersey is nothing. It's the cost of living.
It depends on your region where you are.
$40 an hour, shit.
Never factor in environments where you're located. They don't never factor in other things other than all they see is money.
Right.
But that money right there it might work for people down south. You know what I'm saying? But down south people, it's a hard stretch to get $40 an hour. But it might work for people down south. But $40 an hour, like up here, like I need like $1,000 an hour to be able to survive in New Jersey.
New York City, my cousin is making like 80. She's like a accountant for like the IRS. She like pretty much. She has a really good job is the point, and she makes like 80 grand and you know, of course, with bonuses, whatever the fuck she get. That shit is nothing. That shit like is a joke.
No, it's nothing. That's like majority of that. Like if you think about it, like rent, like on a regular income of like $40,000, you're spending maybe close to $20,000 a year in rent, and that's just living. And that's crazy to me. And people be like, I don't know how y'all living situations are, but I live with my parents. and I will not move out my parents' house because of the cost of living. I will not work a job to where my whole income is going to an apartment. That's about the dumbest shit ever. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. You will never progress.
And what happened is, that's smart, because we have it in this psychological mindset in the minority community where it's corny to live with your parents. But that's really the smartest thing.
But meanwhile, every other community does it. No one bats a fucking eye.
For instance, me. So I was living, I graduated college, and I was living with my mom for about a year and a half in North Carolina before I moved to Delaware. So while I was still in North Carolina, I was living at home. Now, of course, when I moved to Delaware on my own, you know, I had no choice but to get my own place. But like you said, going back to that, yo, use your resources as much as you can, because once you get out on your own, like you said, that rent, you know, that water bill.
Yeah, like I lived on my own before, and it doesn't equate to living realistically. Like, I'll just never understand why people want to be independent so bad just to struggle. Like, that's not nothing fun to, you know, to live by. But, you know, like I said, in the Twitter world, everybody's so rich, everybody understands how life is, but realistically, like, life ain't easy.
Yeah,
it's like, things are going up. Taxes are going up.
Life is far from easy. That's why bitches are busting it open and selling pussy to any nigga that'll take it, because they're hungry. They're struggling. Ooh. That's why they're going on dates.
Yeah. They're starving. I might do that.
They're really.
Yeah. On Twitter, you don't want to get caught up in the whole status thing, because, like you said, if you see some of that stuff that's retweeted on Twitter, man, you'll be out here. You won't own anything your whole life.
Twitter is Hogwarts. It's not real. Y'all better stop taking this dumbass Twitter logic.
Twitter is Hogwarts.
They just talking. For the most part, people just be chatting for retweets. That shit is not how they.
Yeah,
they tweeting from the that's what people on the floor in their mama's basement, telling you how to live.
I was talking to Toby about this the other day, and I said, most of the tweets that get the greatest amount of retweets are like something idiotic.
I noticed that, because my tweets, they be hitting like maybe less than 1,000. I just be like,
right, when you say real stuff, it gets like, even on Instagram,
like even people arguing with you, that's only
for instance like when I put up posts on like Facebook about money, like, yo, I get like one or two likes. But if you put up something about, you know,
something ignorant,
you put up something about sports or entertainment, oh man, you get so many comments and so
or
many
popping pussy.
Right,
because you know why? Because as us, like, a lot of it come from like us as well, because we function better off entertainment than actually trying to tackle what the real world actually is. Right. And that's not good. And that's how a lot of us is going to stay where a lot of us are, you know, are at right now, like at the bottom. But then when you try to educate people, they think that you're crazy. And it's just like, how am I crazy for wanting to not be in the same cycle as you? Because I see how miserable you are. But you want to stay exactly where you are. But for why? And then you complain because you're where you're at. Like, I don't understand.
Right.
It's just systematic. And it's just engraved into a lot of folk.
It is. But
I have to literally tell people, like, it's this one dude on Twitter that literally, like, he complains about black
people. Who? What's that?
Bro.
What is that? What is that?
Wait. So, like, and it's like, you have your bunch of people that literally sit on Twitter and they complain about the black community all day, every day.
Girl, yes.
They bring no solutions.
Right, but you know, they get so many retweets, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, what exactly are you doing to even help your community? Because I made a thing about that, and then, you know, like, you know, dude responded saying that, you know, I tell people to look up black scholars and books. Bro, that's not gonna help no fucking body, all right? We can sit in a classroom, and we can read books about black folks, you feel me? But what is that going to do to the community? So I basically told him, all next month, I got financial literacy classes going on. You want to sit here and complain about issues in the black community.
Do something.
But what you need to do is you need to help and build the wealth that's in the black community so we can rise above. Fact. Them reading books ain't going to do nothing. Them reading about Malcolm X and Dr. Sheeby and Hall. Okay, that's cool. Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks. That's cool. We learned about that in school.
Know your history, but keep up with current.
But is that going to help us? Y'all always complain about we have no wealth. We don't understand financial literacy.
Pick up a fucking book.
Health.
If you want to learn about Harriet Tubman, you can ask Nicki Minaj. If you want to learn about Harriet Tubman, you can ask Nicki Minaj.
Now that's fuck Nicki Minaj. Y'all podcast on Nicki was so on point. Like, I don't like talking about celebrities, even though it's to the left.
That's why I didn't even contact you to talk
but
about
But I would have talked about that bitch, because fuck, like, on God, I did not like Nicki Minaj, like, years ago when she first hit. I thought she was corny as fuck. I thought she was following Lil' Kim's footsteps. And not even just that, Lil' Kim is like, yeah, she's a good time, I'll rock out to her, but she pretty much fucked and sucked her way to the top and rapped about it. There's no talent with that shit. Talking about getting fucked and rhyming words together is not talent. And she just paved the way for another hoe to fucking act your ass. And y'all bitches supported that shit. That is coon shit by accident.
Wait, back to
what I was saying about how we function better with entertainment.
Yeah.
We just rather not anything positive to help build, you know, Black people, it's not very receptive at all.
Yeah.
And like with Black-owned businesses, like this is going to be an episode, but I'm just going to touch on it briefly. Like Black-owned businesses, y'all remember when, obviously you do, with the Asians attacking the Black folks and Black folks not wanting to go to Black nail techs because of all their rules and regulations. Like yeah, the yo, we been, like, that.
Like New York and New Jersey, right?
What happened?
Where'd that happen at? Like in New York?
Yeah, it happened, right. It happened there, but it's one of the things, like, I've never experienced anything negative with any type of nail salon I go into, you know? Like, I go get my nails done, I pay, that's it. But what I'm trying to get to is, instead of y'all complaining about, you know, like, yeah, I complain about Black-owned businesses, but just like the white folks will sit here and hire Black folks knowing that they do not like them, y'all need to go and hire these Asians and have them working for you and do what you gotta do. Period. Y'all need to change. Y'all need to flip the game.
Yeah.
But no, y'all want to just hold down your own Black business with your Black employees that barely do anything, and you're trying to rise above, but you're not gonna get nowhere. You gotta follow the blueprint like these white folks. Follow it when it, as far as going to living, group economics and all that.
Group.
But y'all just.
Yeah, group economics.
People got to team up. Next month.
You can't.
But you got to align to the white folks. The white folks, the Asians, the main people that y'all hate, you need to align to, because that's the only way that y'all gonna get to where you have to be. Like, y'all talking about stocks. Nobody in the Black community is talking about stocks. Where did y'all learn about stocks? White people.
No. Stop that. My ex-boyfriend is who I learned stocks from. And that motherfucker.
No, but I'm saying nice. Like majority, okay, but you don't see Black people talking about stocks. Hear from white folks.
Well, thankfully now with social media, like you say, there are more people talking about it. But what differentiates everyone is that there are some people who talk about it, some people who don't talk about it. But most importantly, the people who are executing, those are the people who are going to get ahead. It's all about execution.
Execution.
You can read 1,000 books.
Yep.
But if you do not apply.
Just like me. Smart as shit. But I ain't making no moves.
You're going to be still stuck at home plate. You're not going to get to first base, second base, third base. You're still going to be standing in that batter's box where you started at.
Yeah, and then not even just that. Oh, what were you saying?
Go ahead. What were you about to say?
I was going to say, and as far as aligning with white people or aligning with other races, that's not necessarily true, because guess what? Not all white people who are successful are going to fuck with your want-to-learn shit ass. You look like a fucking save-a-hoe. Nobody wants to save you.
Okay,
and let me finish. And at the end of the day, you have to go out for yourself. There's not only just, it isn't even about just white people. There are free financial literacy classes, I promise you, in your neighborhood, if you are from like an impoverished area or you are from an area where startup, there's literally the government that funds small businesses and knowledge for you to learn certain things. So it isn't necessarily about a race thing. It's about a knowledge thing. It's about stepping out there and getting into the zone, because there's people who, I've talked with white people. I have conversed with several white people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but because they're white and they like to throw around some 3-syllable words and make it sound all snazzy, you would think they know what they're talking about. So don't get caught up in a white man, Black man, Asian man. Nope. No. Get caught up in you. Get caught up in free sources. Get caught up in your education. Get caught up in bettering you. Don't base it off of race. It's ignorant. Every race.
No, but what I'm trying to
the
say.
The race stuff is distraction.
It is.
No,
base
no,
it
is
off
a
of
distraction.
Success.
But
who's success, like you said, who's executing it? That's who you base it off of. Who's
come
doing
to the mini mansion and prosper.
Boom,
boom.
He ain't have no interruptions. It's my loud ass with all this interruptions. I'm not in a mini mansion. I'm in the laundry lab washing tie-dye shirts.
That's real. Hey, but if you continue these good financial habits,
one day you're going to have many, many mansions. You're going to have rental properties. You're going to prosper.
Speaking into existence.
Exactly. We're all on unique timelines. That's why when people get to comparing themselves, you know, I say, hey, it's okay. Because I start.
That's not your story, boo. That's not your journey.
Yeah, everyone started at ground zero. You know what I'm saying? So you just keep putting in the work and everything, you know, you reap, you know, the labor that you put in. So, yo, just keep pushing forward. This has definitely been a very, very positive conversation. I want the whole Twitter to hear this, tell them to come to Auntie's podcast and hear about this investment talk, this money talk. Don't be shy to talk about money with y'all friends, because y'all talk about anything else. When it comes to money, yes, the whole car shut up.
And when it do shut up, it's time for you to get new friends. Because at the end of the day, just like Auntie said earlier, y'all love to complain about how Black people ain't doing shit. Y'all love to talk about how your ancestors did what's this, that, and third. You know what your ancestors did that's separate from you? They showed. They did it. They didn't talk about it. They didn't have time to talk about it. They were newly freed slaves with nothing. Not a pot to piss in, not a window to throw out of, yet Black Wall Street was made in several locations across the America. So yeah. I'm trying to figure out where is your driving oomph. When just like Auntie said, you could talk about all these historical events that have happened. Why don't you bring up the financially literate people? Why don't you bring up the people who enacted laws and who enacted certain things within our structure of our government? You don't talk about that shit because you don't want to learn it, because it's easier to sit up here and take something that can be not necessarily factual but opinionated and make it seem as if you're talking like you have facts. But when it comes down to breaking down Black and white to educating yourself, y'all don't want to do it because it's difficult. Y'all want to throw Malcolm X on a t-shirt with a blunt in his mouth and sell it for $14.99 and say that you got a Black business. That's stupid.
No. They're selling it for about $60. They selling it for about
$60. You ain't lying. $14.99.
Three weeks that's for you to get the damn shirt.
That's right? That's just a damn t-shirt company. That ain't no Black business. Nah, we ain't even gonna label them as a Black business, because a Black business is gonna have a more diverse, you know, product and services for their customers. That's just a lazy ass t-shirt company. That's how I view it.
And that's real. And like he said, if you are around people who aren't discussing certain topics, or you get shut up because you bring up certain things, because I'm not gonna lie, I got to a point where, yeah, I was quote unquote woke, but don't nobody want to keep having that repetitive ass conversation when nothing is being done. That's right. My frustration. I do not want to have the same conversation. I do not want to march all fucking day. I want to get money and dismantle the system from within. Just like Auntie said, you may not have to align yourself with white people, but you damn sure can study them motherfuckers.
That was my whole point, but you cut me off.
Oh, you didn't say that.
But because you wouldn't let me like, what the hell? Okay, y'all got it. I don't care no more. Y'all got it.
I'm gonna leave the listeners with the official Corporate Coke and Smack Challenge. Anyone who's listening to this, I want you, if you don't already have it, save up 3 to 4 months worth of expenses. That should be your first focus. Save up a rainy day.
You know what? I'm so happy you said that. Some dude literally just said that last week. Like, you should have at least, I think he said 6 months worth of expenses.
The way I judge how much I need is based on my ability, that if I was to lose my, my salary or my job, that I could get into something else within that time frame. So, you know, that's just, I say 3 to 4 months is based on, you know, my resume and my network. So, yeah. So, for the listeners, 3 to 6 months, like Auntie said. Then, I want you to also focus on your high interest debt. We're not talking student loans, because most of those are like, you know, 3 to 4 or 5%. We're talking about you paying interest on your credit cards every month. You need to stop that. Because when you're paying the high interest on your credit card, that's taking even more money out of your pocket. And then once you've taken those two steps, then next is when you really want to look into investing and how you can grow your money. Because that little money market savings account you have linked to your checking account, that ain't doing a damn thing for you.
You get a penny for them just holding your money when you can actually have. There's banks that hold your money and actually give you dividends back and actually give you more interest, but you have to actually invest. And they're more online banks. I used to be afraid. But you know.
Yeah, the only banks give more because they have lower overhead. Correct.
And you know actually why I didn't start investing? This was the plan. And I did have my money saved up. I got fired from my job. And the money that I had saved up ended up becoming like my survival money. So that's another thing. Yep.
you always want money to cushion off of, because thank God I have good credit and I had money in the bank, or I don't know what I would have did for myself and my children. You never want to be in a situation where your account is not, like you said, at least 6 months of your expenses. And if you're not there, at least try to keep 2 months worth of rent in your bank account. At least try to keep that. And like you said, be careful with the credit card, especially when they're first offering them to you as like a college student and you're trying to build your credit. Make sure that you have a lower interest rate, and when you do, if you can't afford it, try to pay off the full balance before it actually comes back around to be due, because you will never have to pay interest. You're paying exactly what you borrowed. So before that period comes up, say you swipe that bad boy for $50, before that due date comes, pay that $50
please and thank you.
And it'll build your credit up. Like my credit score, no, and do not let anything go into collections. That shit goes in collections, it drops your score down so much. Now, there's certain things you can't handle as far as when it comes to the history of your credit, but always pay on time. Don't let stuff go into collections. Pay stuff early. Your credit score will shoot the fuck up so quickly. And I'm saying that not from like a, oh, I've seen this happen. No, from experience. My credit score, when I first started working on it, was 5-something. Not because it was bad credit. I just didn't have built credit. I had no established credit except for student loans, and they weren't in default. They were just sitting there. So finally, I got my ass off my shoulders. I started paying little shit off. Of course, I had a Cox cable bill in my name for my parents. You know what? Fuck them. And I paid that shit off and went up. Of course, I had little stuff here and there, and I just paid it off. And when I got my credit card, I paid early. And guess what? They're going to keep giving you money. Bitch, you pay. Here's more. Don't fall into it. Don't ever max your credit card out. Don't ever, 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 ever max your credit card out.
That's right.
It'll take so long to pay that shit.
It's part of your score, the utilization ratio.
Exactly. And you want to keep your debt-to-income ratio down, because Auntie talked about this in a couple podcasts ago. You have the most banging credit, but if you have a ridiculous amount of debt and you're not making enough money to compensate that debt or to cover that debt, no one will loan you shit. No one will fuck with you as far as starting a business. You want to keep your debt-to-income ratio down. Now, of course, student loans is very difficult to play with. You got student loans, you got to do what you can to push through. But as far as other assets, as far as cars, your home is not an appreciating value, it's a depreciating value. So you want to turn that into some type of business, some way, shape, or form. You want to turn it into some type of business so you can have a corporate tax cut, or you can have a tax cut when it comes time with that personal property tax if you're in that type of region. Also within your car, depreciating value, great value, great fun time, but you don't necessarily want to buy a bunch of cars unless you got it like that, or unless you're a mechanic and you plan on flipping the cars. Don't get out of, like, for real, all jokes aside, if you don't have parents to cushion you, or if you don't have somebody who gave you that foundation, you are going to have to be hungry for a little bit, whether that's staying with your parents, whether that's staying in a place that you necessarily wouldn't like. Of course, don't get not safe, but you're going to have to be in a place where you're not spending out all your money. You have to live under your means to get to a certain place. And that's period. So before you can get comfortable, you have to be uncomfortable. And don't let that uncomfortability scare you. It's a motivator. And that's, I'm done.
Okay, well, I guess she covered some of the debt podcast we're gonna be doing next
month. Yeah, we'll always jump into it. Y'all.
Right, but y'all will need another conversation about this, because one conversation is just never enough.
I love it. Right. I really do. Oh God, like Auntie, I really love the fact this podcast is so fucking sick, because not only are y'all covering topics in which a lot of podcasts, I notice, they like to chat, they like to talk. And yes, that's what a podcast platform is for, but at the end of the day, what about the solutions? We're complaining about X, Y, and Z, but what about the solutions? And I feel like this podcast presents solutions. Like mental health,
solutions if you're willing to take the solutions. So
you can't force them niggas now.
Right. That's why I always, before we go, that's why I tell everybody that's complaining about issues in the community, instead of trying to get everybody on the same page as a whole, which you will never do, because you have them coons and you got people that just don't care. If y'all got 10 people, you know what I'm saying, that's doing what they're supposed to be doing, work and build with them. And that's it. Do what you have to do. Stop trying to get everybody on the same page. But this information is out there. It's up to you to be receptive to it. Period. So can't nobody say, oh, y'all not doing nothing. It's information out there. Are y'all listening to it? Are you listening to the breakdown? Are you trying to do, you know, better? Or are you just in a place to where you just want to complain? Because if you want to complain, cool, shut the hell up. I don't want to hear it.
Get your ass away from me.
And right. Get the fuck off. I don't want to hear it. But if you want to be better, you'll listen. The information's out there. But like I said, you know, stop trying to get everybody on the same page as you. If you got your people that want better for each other, for themselves, work with them, build your community, because people will respond by seeing instead of you just talking. All right. So if they see all of us right here, like six of us right now on this call, if they see all six of us building up a community, what are they gonna do? They gonna come in like roaches.
Cause right? Most people are bandwagon hoes. So if you and know that's you're not a leader, bandwagon, leave.
But you will see that mm-hmm. you can actually be progressive when you kind of change your mindset and you understand that you need better instead yes. of just filtering the same regurgitated. I just don't understand how people have the same conversations about the Black community every day. Like, bro,
girl, I mean, like, so confused. I'm like, what? How do y'all do this daily and then like daily. Go viral?
Black community, Black community empowerment. Like, bro, shut up. Go outside. Go get some air.
Do you see white people doing that? Do you see absolutely. White people daily complaining about the worst of their race? Do you see white people crying about how, well, they do deal in their little bullshit crying. But I'm talking about really coming together.
Yeah, they only be crying, get caught being racist, and now they ain't got no income coming in.
But and that shit is hilarious. That's different.
Right. I don't care about that. But it's like, we had a great conversation, y'all. We had a good chat. The only takeaway that I'm going to tell y'all is to connect with people that care instead of running behind people that rather buy Louis belts, Jordans, and stuff like that and don't want to establish anything for longevity.
Nancy love calling out the niggas.
I'm telling you because I'm tired. I mean, because them the ones giving auntie, them babies. All right?
I went through that stage in college, auntie. So,
huh?
I can relate because I went through that whole...
You know what? We all went through that, all right? But we're almost 30. We should not be doing that no more. We shouldn't be doing that no more. We need to tell these youngins that's what they don't need to be doing. All right?
Yeah, and we're not judging you. We're just trying to stop you from being fucking stupid. Like, nobody's on God. Nobody's really judging y'all because at the end of the day, we all have been there. We all were stupid. We all were trying to...
Yeah, we're not perfect.
But just don't... Like, for real, don't think that you know everything. Because my biggest thing, I swear to God, I knew so much shit. Because I am intelligent, book smart. But I'm a dumb motherfucker. Don't get it twisted. I do some dumb shit. Stop doing that when you are in, like, the prime... Not necessarily the prime of your life, but you're in a very youthful, still sponge stage where you can still soak up certain things. Gain that knowledge and be the change you want to see. Stop talking about it and be about it. Because at the end of the day, this is the perfect time. You don't have to worry about nobody taking your fucking head off the way it was. I mean, a little bit. But the way it was like back in the day where you build a business and they coming in and snatching you out of your shit to lynch you. Guess the fuck what? You ain't got to worry about that. And if you did, if they do sure come that shit, you can light that shit up with a gun because you have the right to bear arms. So, hey, guess what? Be the change you want to see. Stop talking about it and be about it. See, that's why I fuck this podcast so much.
Yes.
Right. It's dope, right?
It is. It really is. Because, like, you fuck with real niggas. And it's like, you know, so, except for that one dude. What were we doing? Interracial relationships?
Bro,
like,
you don't count. I don't even.
How'd you bring that up? Like, how'd you bring that up, bro?
Other than that. I'm
gonna talk about the episode. That episode's still, like, in my drafts. Like, we're not going to talk about that. But yeah. So, anyway, dope podcast. I want to drop it, but I can't right now. But just stand by. But I really appreciate y'all coming. I really do. Like, this was dope. Like, this is the second conversation we had on this conversation topic, and it was actually a success.
Yeah, I mean.
Thank you.
You know, if you need somebody to, you know, pitch in, you know, an additional perspective, let us know. We'll definitely come on. And like you said, we're here to talk about these topics for sure.
Yeah, Bree, sing something. Let us out. Hit us with a.
so one more.
Okay, actually, we're not gonna exit like that. But what I'm gonna tell y'all is to go buy some soap.
Lola and Doe. You got that.
Lola and Doe, go buy some soap and use my promo code. Good night,
bye,
y'all.
Bye.
Deuces.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.